Might go a little over today, but I'm going to do my best to get through all of this. I have been fought, and so I know that it's from the Lord. And I don't know if you knew last week, but Christina came to me and said that when I spoke, it broke up in 7 parts, and she had to go and put it all back together. And thank you, Christina, for all that extra work, and was able to get it up on Monday night. So that was already being fought. And little did I know what my week would hold, but I probably figured I should have known better. But I feel like Satan's been sitting at the end of my bed for about 7 days talking to me. And it's been really don't take it lightly to give the word of God. I tell you, you give fought. And when you're fought, I don't think I've been fought quite this much mentally. And just a spirit of discouragement and wanting to give up. And Lord, why did you get us down so low? I've been going through a lot of that, and I'm sure you have too. And so I hope that it will encourage you as we go through this. I don't stand here declaring a lot. I just, when I'm weak, he's strong. So I know this is a word that needs to go out. And we have a few here, and I almost prefer a few. I really do, because it's a lot to take for some people. And I'd rather have the ones that can take it and get it out. And it will go out, and people will hear it. So once it's delivered, then I can, maybe he'll get off the end of my bed. I hope so. But we are going to complete this Psalms 125, a prophetic word for 2025. I believe it's April to April that it goes out. And I pray that this will go to the ears that need to hear it. It will go down into the hearts of 2 or 3, because that's all we need to stand on this word. So we're going to start there. This is a different Psalms. We are in the middle of change. The first 5 Psalms, because we started at 0 to 2024, was a season, and that season is changing, and I know it's changing by the Psalms of the Ascent are changing. So I believe that Lord validated that we are in change. Now Hebrews 5:7-8:5 is the Hebrew number for the year. We see 2 fives in that. We also know 2025, the 5 is there, and that is the letter He, and it means divine breath, revelation, the light of the word of God. 2025 is the year of the mouth and divine breath. So I think we've been trying to keep our breath the last 5 years without Satan taking it out, but now our vessels are empty and the divine breath is going to speak through us. And I think that's what the last 2 years have been, has been an emptying out of all of our own abilities, our strengths, the things we thought God was going to use. And now these empty vessels can be used for his word and what he wants said. We know the picture graph there is, hey, resembles a man and his arms raised. Again, it means behold. I thought how appropriate that behold, he cometh, is in this word. And it also means those that are praising God for the double grace and the double portion. I believe we're getting ready for him to pour out. I'm just going to quickly get the text before us and read it. And it's going to have quite a bit in this. In Psalms 125:1-2, I believe this is the Lord. He speaks first on his day. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forevermore. This is our Lord speaking. I believe we're getting ready to stand and him getting ready to move. And remember that vision, I believe the Lord gave me of those thatched roofed, that was a round circle that was round about us. I believe we've been under that protection. Now 3 is going to be the spirit of Elijah. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Now, verse 4, I believe Joseph is speaking to you. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. I believe the Lord's going to give us a word in season out of Genesis 41. I have quite a bit today. And as for such as turn aside, John the Baptist is going to speak to you in the last verse. Unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. So can you imagine having to speak, the Lord standing down? I'm going to give a word from Elijah. We're going to talk about Joseph in the seven good years and finish it up with John the Baptist. I hope that I can get through this. It's quite a chapter. Okay, so we're going to go to the first chapter, and I'll move quickly through those because I do want to spend some time on Genesis 41. Now, the first verse that we're looking at is, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Now, verse 1 and 2, and to begin, I ask the Lord for these verses prophetically for the year. The Lord is establishing his authority on his day. He's also, in the second verse, securing his purposes for the church and Israel. He's saying, this is my day, and these are my purposes, and they will stand forever, no matter what man tries to do. The word trusting here is the Lord is set as a requirement from us for restoration. The reward will be to those who cannot be removed in that trust. So you have to say, what is that? The saints who stood in testing and stood for the rest, the refreshing, and the home go, let no man take your crown. That is what you're trusting in, and that is what you're standing for. Who are those that are removed? Well, this is where you're going to find out where the battle has been. It's very religious words. To be removed is to be threatened to fall. Well, that's losing your salvation. You're worried about backsliding. You're wavering or being tossed with every wind of doctrine and swayed in every way. That's being removed. But those that trust in the Lord and know that they are secure in the Lord and trusting for these prophetic words, that he is standing with Israel, he is standing with the church, and he is coming again. He's getting ready to take us home. You are not removed like Mount Zion. It says Romans 9:33, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling block and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now, with Zion, it's mentioned three strategic times in the Psalms of the Ascent. It's first mentioned, Zion, first with Psalms 122. Remember, that's when the relationship is restored between Israel and the church. Remember Psalms 2, 3 through 4. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. That's the church in Israel. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then Zion is mentioned again in Psalms 125. But this one, I believe he's standing down and calling for the heavenly Zion first, referring that not being removed in the calling that we're going home. Then the third time that it is mentioned is Psalms 132, exactly seven chapters later, 7 years later. And I believe that that Psalms and that Zion is for the earthly Zion calling out to Israel to stand for their kingdom is mentioned. And it's Psalms 132, 13, for the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. This is the earthly kingdom of Zion. And that message will go out. But I believe the heavenly Zion will go first. And all of Israel has the opportunity for the heavenly calling too. So isn't that interesting that Zion isn't mentioned again until seven chapters later or 7 years later from 2025? Now, there's many prophets that are out there and they prophesy things. Sometimes I don't think they totally understand all that they say because they say things under the anointing of the Spirit. But this caught my attention. Kent Christmas was prophesying about a year ago. And he said the Song of Zion would be sung the next 8 years. And that would cover the Psalms of 2025 and Psalms 132. I thought that was interesting and it laid that in my heart. Now we're going to go down to Psalms in 125. As the mountains are round about Israel, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth and evermore. Now, I believe that this is going to be the prophetic word for that. And we're going to go back to something I had taught earlier in 2021 and 21, the letter Shen. Now, roundabout means that it has covered on every side. It means a circuit above and around. And Psalms 34:7 says, the angel of the Lord encampeth around them that fear him and delivereth him. I think that that's especially the bridal saints. So the actual mountains in Israel that this is referring to is in the shape of the letter Shin, which is from Psalms 121, the chapter of preservation. And Shin, for the picture graph, is teeth and a flame of fire. So if you look at those three mountains over his land and his people, there are the teeth of the lion of the tribe of Judah, and there are the flames of the fire of the Holy Ghost. These same mountains, a flame of Shin 21, that preservation chapter that went out over us, I believe is over us also. We have the teeth of the lion of the tribe of Judah. We have the flames of fire that represents. Now, we're going to go down to chapter 3 because I'm going to spend more time in the next fifth verse. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. This verse, I believe, is announcing the judgment begins at the house of God. And this is how I believe that. If you look at the word lest, very important word, I've learned words are very important. Means you do not give proper heed, saying, give heed, you have opportunity to hear. This is this, but lest if you don't, this is what's going to happen. So you have a lest, you have an opportunity to take heed here. Elijah told the Israelites, choose this day whom they would serve, Baal or Jehovah. You've got an option there. Also in the letters of the churches, it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Lest here is have an option of one or the other. Now, the rod of the wicked will not rest against the lot of the righteous. What is the rod of the wicked? What's actually known as the heathen scepter. The rod here means, because it has a wicked sense to it, it means a branch broken off or a noble man. So this tells us that this rod or this scepter of the heathen or rod of the wicked is religious. So we know as we step in 2025, your enemy is not on the dark side. It's coming in on the right. And this is how I know. In Romans 11, 18 through 20, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou shalt say the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they are broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. This is replacement theology. That's what the rod means, broken off branches. They think Israel was broken off, and they have replaced Israel. It also means a nobleman. So 1 Corinthians 1:26, for ye have, see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men are of the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. So the rod of the heathen here has two meanings in it. First, it identifies who they are, and it identifies how they're going to persecute the lot of the righteous. So we know that they're the broken off branches grafted in their own minds, replacement theology. We know that they're noblemen lifted up in their own wisdom. But if you further study the word, it tells you how they're going to try to rest on the lot of the righteous. It means they're going to try to punish you through writing, through fighting. They're going to try to rule over you. They're going to walk on you in your ministry. It means a clan or a tribe, an organized mob with correction darts. It means a club as a shepherd's implement, which is religious, a rod to chastise. So if you understand who they are and how this rod of the wicked in 2025 is being exposed, the Pharisees in the Lord's first advent came at him with a rod of wickedness, of correction, of darts. Now, lot is important here. This is what they're resting on. Lot means your calling, your choice for a better portion, your destiny. So understand that this wicked rod of the heathen that are coming at the righteous, it's coming at your lot. It says, stand in your lot, stand in your calling. Now, the Lord is with us and promises it won't rest on us. So what does resting on us? Remember, the religious wicked are going to try to rest on the calling that God has put on our lives for this end time message. What does it mean? It means I'm going to quiet you. I'm going to constrain you from speaking. That's what's in this prophetic word that's coming in this move of God. Now, lest the righteous put forth their hands. This is very important. How do I know it's at the house of God?
because they're righteous.
He didn't say, unrighteous, put your hands forth. He is speaking to the righteous. These are believers. And this judgment begins at the house of God. Now, they have a choice. Putting forth their hands is a rejection of the truth. Putting their holy hands unto iniquity. Touch not the unclean thing. So you have to mark that. These are holy hands that are touching iniquity because these are the righteous. So here is the warning to take heed. So when they put forth their hands unto iniquity, their holy hands that God has paid for, what did that mean? Well, putting forth their hands means to cast away. Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has a great recompense of reward. They casted away their faith, giving up on the coming of the Lord. They giving up, it means to give up. Where is the promise of your calling? You're coming. It means to let down, as a letting down of a standard and compromising the whole counsel of God. These righteous hands have put towards iniquity by letting depart. This is what the word means. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. So you're very clearly seeing in this verse, you could read right by it. But what it's telling you is you've got an option, church. Judgment begins at the house of God, and you're either going to go this way, or if you don't heed and take here, your righteous hands are going to touch the unclean thing. And I just listed to you what was unclean, is giving up your confidence for the coming of the Lord, changing your doctrine and not taking the whole counsel of God that Paul and Paul's revelation has left for us. Now, the 1 Kings 8:21, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. So this is a very important verse that's coming in here. The Lord's standing down. Judgment's beginning at the house of God. Righteousness, the righteous are being addressed, lest you go this way or that way. And that's what's coming prophetically in 2025. Now, I'm going to move down and spend my time here. And I believe the Lord has opened up some new insight into this very, I know we've been over and over, and I thank Bob for being faithful to the Lord and what he spoke him to do, because I didn't have time to lay all the groundwork of Joseph in the dream, but he has done that for us. So thank you, Bob, for being faithful. But when this dream was spoken about a year ago, I started doing a deep study, a word study, and I had spoken to you. The Lord said, put it away, not now. And so I put it away. I put away many things, but it doesn't mean you wait on the Lord's timing to release something. So I left it there. And then when I came on this word and it says, good, it began, a spirit just swelled up in me. And it's the first time good is used in the Psalm of the Ascent. And it also, as we again remember in Psalms 119 in the stanza for hay, good is mentioned for the first time in 119. So then when I looked up the word good, it meant well-favored. So then I knew the Lord said, now you can release Genesis 41. And again, I have to tell you, it wasn't my revelation to see it from the beginning. That was found by my mom, and I'm so thankful for her faithfulness. But this is going to be a really careful word study and things that I've never seen before. I felt the presence of the Lord in studying it. So I know he's in this, and I know you can take it. So let's look at something that we've looked at over and over again, and maybe there's going to be some hidden secret insights into this we've never seen before. And I'll leave that with the Lord to rest on it. So Genesis 41, you can turn there with me. I'm just going to go through the first five verses, but I'm going to go verse by verse. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and beheld, he stood by the river. Now, the Lord, when he gives a time, it's important. He said 2 full years. So you have to take note of that. I thought about in Ezekiel 1, he said that on July 4th, on the month, I think it was the month of July, it was the 4th or 5th, July 5th, he had the vision of the Ezekiel's wheel. And in 2020, we landed exactly on July 5th. So the Lord has reasons for dates. So Bob brought out that Joseph was in prison, most likely 10 years. It said 10 to 12 years. We're not sure exactly. So why didn't it say at the end of 10 full years here? Why did it say the end of 2 years if we knew he was in prison longer than that? So you have to mark that. What was the meaning of that? Well, I hope that I can get this out. Only 2 years are acknowledged here is because the first dream he gave was to the butler and the baker. That was 2 years prior. And what's important is that it was a gift of God in the first interpretation. The dream was given, okay? That's important to understand. The baker and the butler told Joseph exactly what they dreamed. Okay, that's what was in the first interpretation. And that was a gift of God by Joseph that he was able to interpret that. He was given the interpretation. That was a gift of God. Now you go down to the second interpretation, and Bob brought this out last week, and the magicians were very stumbled. We can't give you the interpretation unless you give us the dream. So what happened in the two full years? Joseph's gift from interpreting a dream, and his first dreams were given to him as he was given a supernatural gift. His gift went from a gift of God to a really supernatural gift because he was given the dream and the interpretation. No man can have a part in that. If you give you the dream, man can logically figure out an interpretation. But that was no room for God to be in that. So the two extra years, two things happened. One, his gift went from a gift of God to a supernatural gift. And it also occurred as a deep place for him. He thought he would be delivered on the first, but it was delivered on the second. And God took him through an extension where he almost gave up. Because he had hope 2 years prior, and his hope was gone. And I believe the Lord is doing that work in our lives, the two extra years. You ever said to the Lord, I don't need this? I mean, I've been in trial. Lord, no, come on, not this. But that's where he was. In his mind and thought, it was time for deliverance. So that's important that those 2 years were marked. Now, Genesis 41, 2 through 3. And beheld, there came up out of the river seven well-favored kind and fat-fleshed. And they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kind came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kind upon the brink of the river. So this might be a little different than what I have been able to see before. First of all, there's a behold. There's a behold that is the number five. There's also a behold when it's repeated again with the ears of corn. Behold, he cometh. It also means behold. It means look, consider, perceive. This kind came up fat. Now, the Lord is showing this to me. They came up out of the river fat. They didn't come up and feed on the meadow and become fat. They came up fat. Come up means to arise, to ascend. It means to daybreak or dawn. It means burn as in light, increase as it begins to restore, a stir up or to work, to do a work while it's yet day. The dark hours of the morning were in the deep waters. And the light of day was seen as the fat kind came up out of the water. So they came up fat, but they were in a deep work in the water. This was all prior to the seven good years. It was first. Now, this was an intense preparation, we know. When deep calls to deep in the river, the pearl of great price was hidden down deep in those dark waters. And I believe that that could have been Psalms 123 and 124, as you come up fat and prepared to stand on the seven good days beginning. Now, the word river is interesting. Yes, it means Nile. It means water or canal. But it also means a shaft, as in Ephesus shaft. It's the center of the candlestick. These fat, prepared kine came up, or you could say down the center shaft of the Ephesus shaft. The church is ranked from the center of that shaft. Now, favored means supernatural vision. So they're coming down out with a supernatural vision. And that the Lord, it said in Habakkuk 2, 2 through 3, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables that he may run that he readeth it. for the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Now, kind is interesting. You got to look at the imagery that the Lord chose here in this dream, because there's spiritual imagery here. For a cow, one, he's one of the faces of the fourfold work of the Lord in Mark, and the fourfold work of the cherubim. One face is a calf or a kine. Out of Ezekiel's wheel, they come out of the fire enfolding, and they have calf's feet. It means they were domesticated. So if you think about this fat cattle coming out, they've had a work in their life. They're fat. They've taken in the word of God, which I'll talk about in a minute. But they're coming out domesticated. That's what the last 2 years have done. They're coming out with a servant's heart, almost a breaking of your will. Now, why they also represent a sacrifice. Calves, cattle were sacrificed, and you're going to live a sacrificed life. Now, these kine were fat-fleshed. It means they were plump. I remember Mary had that vision of all of us as being plump sheep because we've been fed. But it means to be full of the word. It means to be firm. It means to stable, stand fast, or be unshaken. It means to be plentiful, full of grace and mercy. And it also means to be ranked. You know, beef has USDA prime cuts and choice cuts. Then you are prime cut coming out. That's all in a fatted, well-fleshed sheep that came out that way out of the water. So what happened under the water that nobody saw? What was happening there in that preservation? Now, they fed. This describes a continuous action. The kine came out of a deep place, already fat, but they went to a meadow to feed. It means they continually grazed with new revelation coming for the full 7 years. So it's continuing on. Fed also means they fed together. So know that it means that they were together as a group. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assemblings of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So you see a prepared rank coming up at the rise of light. We haven't seen the light part of the day yet. We've been in the wee hours of the morning. Are going to shine, and they're going to stand and be ready, and they're going to be led over to a meadow to continue to feed on the word of God and continually breaking the word of God. Now, Psalms 121:8, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. So we know that you're going to go out and come back in. So the being the together was very important in the grazing. Now, in a meadow means continually grazing on food. And I believe that represents Psalms 23, the green pastures. And green, we know, is the correct green tree of the early church. Now, this is going to be a little bit different. I hope that we can take this. And behold, seven kine came up. Now, we've established that they're coming up prepared as the light rays begin to come out of the river or the center shaft, favored. They have been prepared and ready. Now, look at what they do. They stood by the other kine. They didn't replace them right away. They stood by them. And the Lord brought this out on the brink of the river. So your cattle are grazing in the meadows for the seven full years. And then they come away from the meadow to stand on the brink. And they stand on the brink to stand by the seven ill cattle. Not replaced, but stood by them. Now let's look at this. Seven other kind represent, of course we know, the seven evil years. And that's the ill-favored. And it means that they are dwarfed, they're crushed, they're thin, they're gaunt. They're not getting the food or fed as what we had during the seven good years. Now this is really important. As they came up after them, it means they stood by them. And you need to understand that. That healthy kind moved from the meadow. They stood by the thin, and it means they stood on the brink. That means the border. They stood on a border of one way or the other. So what I do does stand by other means. It stood by the other kind upon the brink of the river. So I want to get this out. when they stood by, what does it mean? It means that they abided. There's a period of time between the evil and good years, just a small space here that they were able, the good sheep stood by. And what does it mean by standing by? They abided by the seven evil. They were appointed to stand there. They arise, they cease, they confirmed, maybe confirmed the word of God. They continued, they dwelled, they endured, they established, they ordained, they remained, they repaired, they served. And it means to stand, to tarry by proximity. So there's a tarrying moment there between the seven good kind and the seven evil kind, because he didn't say they came up and ate them or he came over and ate them. They stood by each other. So we just need to know that there might become further revelation there, that there's going to be a lapse between that, where there's going to be a salutation to be able to speak to that second rank, that they're going to be able to see you go, that you're going to stand by and confirm the word to them, and it's going to be an endurance on your part, and you're going to stand with them. I know Elijah and Elisha give us this pattern. Elijah knew he was going, but Elisha couldn't go. But there was a period of time they stood together. And I think that that might be revealed in here, that they stood by each other. The Lord revealed it to me in the ears of corn also, so I'm going to try to bring that out to you. Now, I want to go on down to Genesis 41:5. And he slept and dreamed the second dream, and behold, seven ears of corn came up upon a stalk, rank and good. Now, we know there's two dreams because two is a witness. This is a witness. And there's another behold that's in this. Hey, take notice, behold. Now, I have to thank, I know Hannah back in Missouri and her dad were talking to me about this, and I believe they love to study the Word of God too. And the ear of corn actually has three meanings. And I'm so thankful she spoke this, but it means a wheat of grain. It's not necessarily a wheat of corn. It's not an ear of corn. But it actually means three things total. But we're going to focus on the wheat of grain, because wheat was in Egypt at that time, and most often it was wheat. It also means a flowing stream, which is a type of the Holy Spirit. It also means a cluster. It's got those three meanings. So in Isaiah 65:8, thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster. So let's see what's happening in this wheat of corn. So right now, and hopefully you guys can take this, the wheat here is the Holy Spirit, new wine, and meaning of the ear of corn. So actually, the Hebrew word actually means shibboleth. That's the word, shibboleth. And I had to take a note of that for just a second. So it means these things. It means that it's a wheat of grain. It means it's the flowing river stream. It means it's a cluster. I think all those things are prophetic in the meaning of this wheat. But the actual word means shibboleth. And if you studied and know that that word is given directly in the Word of God in Judges. And I don't have time to speak on all that. But it was Joseph's two sons. And it was the Ephraimites and Manasseh, which the Gideonites is a portion of Manasseh. And there was Jephthah, who was the judge of that. It's not time to go into all that, but he came and judged Israel. And Ephraimites didn't stand with them. And so they didn't let them cross the border. So there was a civil war among them. And I really think it's a civil war of legality. And whether you are Baptist or you're Pentecostal, there is all that. But I think the Lord's coming down and saying, you know, shibboleth, it's going to be the word and the Holy Spirit. But I just, maybe there'll be further study in that. But I just thought it was interesting that the word meant shibboleth. Right. Now, the seven ears of corn come up on the stalk, rank and good. No, this is actually wheat. Now, I hope that I can get this out. Seven shoots of wheat on a stem is not natural. That would be a supernatural thing. And I believe Don brought this out to me, and I was really thankful for this. Now, you can't go find a picture anywhere, images of seven wheat shoots off of a stalk of wheat, because it doesn't exist. It doesn't happen. Now, if it's a really good year and there's good water and there's good soil and having the best man-made conditions you can possibly have, then you will get 3 to 5 shoots. So let's say 5, is the best you can get, man-made, best you can get. But if you go to 7, that's supernatural. That doesn't happen. No matter how good your soil is, how good you water it, you can't go from 5 to 7 by natural means. So it's supernatural. So the Lord's telling us. So I hope I can get this. 7 shoots are considered supernatural. Did you know there are 22 kernels on a shoot of wheat? 22 is the number of light. That's the number of the Word of God. 22 kernels. Now, if I take 5 stems in the best that man can do and times it times 22, I get 110 kernels. 110 kernels is the best nature could produce. And Joseph died at 110, and his bones were taken out of Egypt. Now, if I go to 7 stems, which is what's given to us, and that is supernatural, I times that times 22 kernels, which is light, the Word of God, I get 154 in abundance. That's a supernatural number. So I've got 110 to 154 kernels. This is supernatural abundance. So what's the difference between natural and supernatural? So I hope that I can bring this out on the 7 good years on what to look for. We're going to walk into 150 kernels per stem. What does that mean? Well, the difference is 44. So what does 44 mean? There's the 44 is the increase from natural to supernatural in the 7 good years. Well, 44, believe it or not, if you go down to Genesis 41:35, it says, let them gather all the food of those in the good years that come and lay up the corn under the hand of Pharaoh and let them keep the food in the cities. That word food is written 44 times in the Word of God. So is the supernatural increase that we're going to see in the 7 good years, it includes food in the Word of God. Milk is written 44 times in the Word of God. And it is flowing, the land of milk and honey, and we know that the milk of the Word is going to be given. The word persecute is written 44 times in the Word of God. Know that persecute goes with milk of the Word and the food of the Word during the supernatural increase. The word Judea is written 44 times. So they're from Judah, which is praise, but also remember John the Baptist preached from the wilderness of Judea. Acts is the 44th book of the Bible. In Isaiah 44:3, for I will pour water upon them that is thirsty, and the floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. So we might get a little understanding here of this 44% or this 44 number increase. And what is it all about? The word, milk of the word, persecution, John the Baptist coming out of Judea, and Acts, and the pouring out of the Spirit. Now, here's another clue of a side-by-side. We know that the kind stood side-by-side at the end of the 7 good years going into evil. I believe the Lord will give us more revelation on our time to go home, the overlap, and what he's called us to do. As much as he has prepared us, he is going to prepare the blood-washed multitude. He loves them. That is going to be a good message and good news. But if you look up very carefully in those 2 verses there, it said first the 7 good years came up. But it says the second one sprung up. Why is it come up and stand by each other for the kind? But for the wheat, it says come up, and then it changed. Why didn't it just say come up? It said sprung up. It's a different word. Why was it moved and changed? Well, sprung up means a sprout or a bud. It means it came up, but it wasn't fully developed. But the ones that were blasted by the wind and the ones that were ill-favored, that was a full grain of corn. So why a bud here? Well, a definition between an ear of wheat and a bud of wheat. It comes up a bud first. The ear of the wheat is a mature grain bearing part of the wheat plant, while a bud of the wheat is dormant. its immature structure that can develop into a new stem or branch, potentially leading to another ear. The ear is the final reproduction structure, while the bud is an early stage of growth. So why would that come up for the good years, and then the evil years sprung up, and then they were blasted by the wind? That means they came up dormant in a bud. That tells me there could be a space of time there before they are completely blasted, that there is a side-by-side overlap. Maybe. But I thought that was interesting. So I'm going to go in closing here with the last verse. And this is John the Baptist. And he says, and I'm going to put the second part of 4 and the verse of 5, they actually go together. And it says, Psalms 25:4, last part, and to them that are upright in their hearts carries the meaning, those that have endured chastisement and trials. But upright means straight. That's what it means. It means straight in their hearts, which is opposite of crooked, that's going to be mentioned in the next verse. It's a work of sanctification. So if you're upright in your heart, it means you're enduring trials and coming through the work of sanctification. Then he says, as for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. This is the voice of John the Baptist in the wilderness. And he spoke in Luke 3:5, and it is written in the book of the words of Elias, which we had Elijah in the first couple of verses, the prophet saying, he's coming down with the second witness here, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So the Lord, the path straight is the heart work in your life at the end of verse 4. Be straight. Every valley shall be filled. That's the lowly. And every mountain and hill, the prideful, shall be brought low. And the crooked shall be made straight. And though the rough way shall be made plain. Crooked often means perverse false doctrines. So out of John the Baptist's words in the wilderness, 2025 emphasizes crooked, path straight, yes, in the work in our lives. But the word crooked was given here only, and it means false doctrines. And I believe the Lord's going to first be addressing and bringing Paul back on deck, we call it, in Paul's revelation. But I want to stop here, and I want to just say a few things. It's been a hard week for me. And I don't mean that to, like, oh, poor me. Because, you know, when you carry the word of God, you're going to get it if it's been effectual. And I feel that maybe the Lord's beginning to give us some new revelation. He's not going to give you new visions, and he's not going to give you new dreams. But he's going to give us revelation in the visions and the dreams that are already in his word. And I think that we might begin to start seeing that. But I was really discouraged this week, and I just had anxiety all week, and I'm not one to prone for anxiety, so it's not like I'm, you know, being dramatic. And it was awful, and it's just a darkness, questioning whether I was even called, whether Grocery was going to make it. And I just thought, Lord, how can I get back in the pulpit when I am so lack of faith? It was awful, and I just said I had to rebuke that thing in the name of the Lord several times. Finally, at my lowest point, and I want to share this with you, I said, God, where are you? Help us, Lord. Help me get this message out. It's hard to speak such a thing when it looks like this. And he didn't speak to me in a real sweet, kind voice, almost a command. And he said, lift up your head. Lift up your head. Just like that. And then he drove me to Psalms 24. Which was last year's prophetic word, which we're ending right now. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift up them, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And that was spoken in Psalms 124. We're now finishing that, and we're stepping into 125. But the Lord said, lift up your heads. Don't come to me complaining and crying. He told Moses, go forward. And I began to say, okay, Lord, help lift up my head. It's downcasted right now. And he just laid in my heart, he's getting ready to visit. I don't know how or where, but to lift up my head that he was coming in and coming down through these gates and through these doors, and that we need to keep our heads up right now. And I know that Satan's doing everything to cast our head down, but to leave our heads up. And I believe this message was very timely, because I was telling my mom this morning, the Lord spoke to me. He said, look at the date. And I said, what? And he spoke that to me before I got here. He said, look at the date. So I looked at the date, and we are 30 days delayed Easter today. 30 days. We've been through the Passion Week. And through that King that has come through those gates and getting ready for a resurrection Easter Sunday. So I hope that this meant something to you. It was a heavy, big message. And I thank you for your patience. But be ready for the visions and dreams to speak. We don't need a new revelation. It's in the Word of God. And we're going to thank him when we understand that the work in our lives coming up out of the river, maybe we're getting ready to step into those 7 good years and to prepare our hearts for an overlap and a love for those that are going to reject us, but we want to get them ready to go. And I believe that was appropriate for a delayed Easter today.